You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here with today's program is Pastor Paul.
I love to see weak make strong, but most of all,
welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito. Thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day of this Monday to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We are going to hear today something that just started on Friday, and it goes back about a year and a half ago. It was during the COVID craze, really, is when this sermon goes back to. And I'll never forget, that was one of the real catalysts here at Island, when we really started to grow in numbers here, when we didn't let the government tell us when to shut our doors. But we kept these doors open on Sunday, and people were coming because their own churches were closed, and we've never looked back ever since. So this sermon comes out of that time or so. It's called, What'll Be the Sign of Your Coming? Pestilence. It's another sign from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not one of those things. It's a sign that you'll know His return is near. Very important to see. And it's chilling to see that we've arrived at the time where the government, as it will be in Revelation chapter 13, remember the Antichrist, false prophet, they have a world government. But we've come to the time when the government will force you to receive some kind of identifying mark in order to buy or sell. That's where we're at now in hindsight. Let's hear the rest of this message here now. Tomorrow and Wednesday, you'll hear my sermon from yesterday. Moses walks to his own funeral, and we'll hear that tomorrow. But here today, let's get into this message out of Matthew chapter 24.
It's the Greek word agonizo, where our word agonize comes from. It's the same word used of Jesus when he was sweating great drops of blood. And it says he agonized in prayer in the garden the night before he died. That's the mindset and the attitude he wants you to have to get into the kingdom. Agonize, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will try to get in. You see, that's it. There's no last call in the kingdom. Once that seat is taken, many will try to get in. It's just like the ark. If you find the ark today, you know what you'll find on the outside of it? Scratch marks. Like someone they buried alive inside of a coffin. They open it up later, and they got all those scratch marks on the inside of it. That's what they find on the outside of the ark when they find it. Because once you saw the rain, then it was too late. You got to have faith today when you can't see. Once you see Jesus, it's too late. Once you see him, or once you die, it's too late. You got to believe in him today when you don't see him. Jesus said, blessed are all those that don't see and yet believe. Once you see him, it's too late. Once you die, oh, I believe now. Once that last chair is taken, then it's too late. This is why he says, agonize. It's not that it's hard to get in. It's the time the door is going to be open is why it's hard. All you have to do is believe. You can believe and go in without burning a calorie. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. With the heart, one believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made, Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's my Lord. Paul says, I'm worried you've been corrupted by the simplicity that is in Christ. It's easy to get your name in for you. But the time is coming soon when the last chair is going to be taken. And as he says here, many will try to get in and will not be able. Luke 13:25, once the master of the house has risen up and once the master of the house, you see, once he's risen up and what's he? That's it. You're either on the inside of this ark or you're out here scratching. Once this door is shut, that's it. I don't care how many movies you've seen on TV. Once that door is shut, listen to what Jesus says. Once the master of the house has risen up and shuts the door, and then you begin to stand outside and knock, saying, I'm ready now. All right, quote, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say, I do not know you. Where you are from? Then you will begin to say, but we ate and drank in your presence. You taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There'll be weeping and gnashing or grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets inside that door there, and you on the outside, you can't get in. Because you didn't listen to the pastor when he told you, take the last chair, call on the name of the Lord. The Bible says many are going to try to get in and will not be able. Just like many tried to get into the ark. Genesis 7:16, it says God shut the door on the ark. So Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot until the last of the Gentiles takes their seat. And now Jesus is going to give us some signs in this chapter so that you will know his return is near. And that this number is getting close to being reached and that this door is about to be shut. Now with the signs is the absolute dire warning that if you miss this, if you miss Jesus' return, all is lost. If you are not inside the kingdom when the door is shut, if you are not inside the kingdom when the door is shut, you are lost. There's no second train. There's one train. And you got to enter in now. In another place, Jesus says, narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life. And there are so few that find it. We're considering two things. Number one, the signs. Number two, the urgency, that at any moment the times of the Gentiles will be complete. And once that is, again, it's like the ark. Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. The overarching theme over all of this is his first warning given in verse 4. Again, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said, take heed that no one deceives you. Again, to think that something is something. 16 speed. To think that something is something. While something is actually something else. To think that something, the coronavirus, AIDS, swine flu, bird flu, is something, just one of those things, as the world turns, while something, that is those things, is actually something else. And that's a sign that Jesus is coming back soon. You're deceived if you think anything else other than that. That's what he wants you to take from the signs that are all around us. To be deceived is to be tricked. It's to be misled. It's to fall for something that was a lie. Something that if you knew, you wouldn't have fallen for it. Let's turn back to Genesis chapter 3, if you would, starting in verse 1. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Hath God indeed said, you will not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die. God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. All right, notice the first sin introduces some new emotions. Guilt. Shame. They didn't exist prior to this. Verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked." You know, I'll be willing to bet that that's number three trait, lying. I think he's lying to him. What do you think? "I was afraid because I was naked." I don't buy that. I think you didn't want to see God because you were a sinner now. And you felt all of a sudden your conscience is playing with you. All of a sudden you feel convicted of sin now, and not because you're naked. Haven't you ever sinned before and you want to run away from God? Or church is the last place you want to go to? It's human nature on the inside of you. That's why when things happen to you, this is the best place to be. Because this is where you can get right with God. "I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" And the man said, "That woman you gave to be with me, she did it. She gave me of the tree and I ate." And the Lord God, that goes without comment. I need no commentary on that. Is that just men down to the T or what? It's not my fault, God. It's that woman you gave to me. Not even wife. My sugar britches here. It's my honey child. No, it's that woman that you, now she's a woman. It's that woman you gave to. It's her fault. Here I was, minding. I told you this. Just did not need my commentary. You enticed me into commenting on this. "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "I concur." He said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" Actually, I guess he did concur. The woman said, "The serpent deceived me." King James says beguiled. "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." And you and I know full well that if she would have known what would be the end result of her being deceived, she wouldn't have done it. Do you think if she would have known that by you doing this, you are going to introduce sin to the human race? You're going to cause little children to die of cancer, and you're going to cause the Son of God to die naked on the cross. Have an apple. right. You're supposed to laugh. That's ludicrous. Do you think she would have done what she did if she would have known what would have happened? No way. See, she was deceived. She thought something was something. The apple was just a way to get knowledge. She thought something was something, while something, the axe, was something else, and that is sin entering mankind, the Son of God dying naked on the cross. That's what it means to be deceived. I'm not going to talk about it. You can read about Judas. Matthew 27, verse 2, when Judas, the Bible says, when he saw what happened to Jesus, he took the money and he hurled it in the temple. And he cried out, I've sinned. Judas was deceived. If he would have willingly known he was going to hellfire and he was going to cause the Son of God to die naked on the cross, do you think he would have done what he did? No way. What'll be the sign of your coming? What are the signs of the end of the age? Take heed that no one deceives you. Don't be deceived like Judas was. Don't be deceived like Eve. Eve was deceived into listening to Satan because his lie sounded like it was something that was good for her, while God was being just too restrictive. At least that's what she believed. The last time I preached through this, I learned that to be deceived is to think that the signs don't amount to a hill of beans, and they're just meaningless, and they're just one of those things. Now, back to verse 3. What will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age? Jesus said, take heed that no man deceives you. And now he starts with the word for. He's going to show how you, oh, experienced Christian, can and will be deceived if you're not careful. And if you're not reading tomorrow's newspaper today, the Holy Bible, he starts. For, meaning this is how. For many will come in my name, saying, ego eimi ho Christos. And they will deceive many. First sign is false messiahs everywhere. Remember, anti is not, antichrist is not Frankenstein against the wolf man. Anti means instead of. The Greek word anti means an alternative to. And it means in place of. Like when John said, of his grace we have all received, and grace for grace. That's charis, anti-charis. Grace in place of. When you use up all the grace he's given you, he'll give you some more. Praise God. Charis, anti-charis. You will hear of wars in verse 6, and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Maybe you say, well, there's always been wars. And there really has been. There's under like 200 years in history since Adam that they can count that there hasn't been wars going on. There always has. But my understanding of this now has changed. That is, unrest in the world is the sign that the Prince of Peace is gone, has departed. And there is no peace until he returns. And that he's coming back again. That's the sign. Pay attention to the signs, he says. You know, but praise God, you can have peace. The Bible says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that, by the way, is how you are to endure in a world that is absent from peace, and that is you to have inner peace. For you to have the Holy Spirit, for you to be a Christian, for you to be a believer, for you to have your name written in the book of life. That's how you get through this. Inner peace that no Democrat can tax, no ACLU can sue, no politician can punish you for, and no devil can take from you. It's the peace that he gives you. The peace of God that passes all understanding. The unrest in the world and the wars are a sign just like the rainbow. The rainbow is a sign. Let me read this verse to you, Genesis 9:11. Genesis 9:11. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. God says, this is the sign of the covenant which I will make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the clouds, and it'll be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow will be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant between me and you and every living thing. The waters will never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. The rainbow is a sign. It's not just one of those things. It's a sign that God is good. It's a sign that God will have mercy on us until the end of the age. We look at it, we're so busy, we forget. It's a sign. Almighty God has had mercy on you and on us. Now in the same vein, some more meaningful signs. Verse 6, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation, verse 7, nation will rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. All right, wars. It's a sign, but wars by themselves is just a sign, a piece of the jigsaw puzzle. Reports of wars or rumors of wars. Like the day I joined the Air Force to scare us wet behind the ear newbies, the other airmen asked if we had heard that the U.S. had just declared war on so-and-so. That was a rumor of war. Not true, though. Next one, nation arise up against nation. Nation, Greek word ethnos. It's ethnic group will rise up against ethnic group, is what this means in Greek. This is just more unrest in the world, which will continue until the Prince of Peace returns. So, numbers 4, 5, and 6, famines, pestilence, if you have a good Bible. New modern Bibles don't have the word pestilence in them. Earthquakes. So, famines are running rampant. Now, remember what I've said and taught before here, global warming is real. Peter says the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up. That's what I call global warming. Like you've never seen. Not like the politician tells you, where they want you to drain your bank account. The earth and the works therein will be burned up. That's serious global warming. So the dumb politicians tell you 10 years. Well, tell you what, friend, you might be wrong. Might be shorter than that. Well, I can hear you going home and spreading that one around. Pastor believes in global warming and says we got less than 10 years. 2 Peter 3:10, if you want to know what God says. But again, global warming will be real. Just don't go around blaming Donald Trump for it, but repent and give glory to God because Jesus' return is near. Don't blame any man for it. Luke wrote this. First five words, Luke 21:25. There will be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, on the earth, distress of nations. With perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Man, they're going to be having strokes on the Weather Channel over this. They do now. The sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts fail in them from fear and the expectation of all those things that are coming upon the earth. For the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. That's Luke 21:25. So, what about Corona? Ha, I deceived you. You thought that something, this sermon, was something, a sermon on coronavirus. While something, this sermon, was something else. And that is a warning for you to look up, that his return is near. Help me, Jesus. When these things begin to happen, then look up and lift up your heads, because your return is near. My question is to you, are you ready? Are you ready for his return? And I'll tell you this, and we'll pray and close. And that is, when you least expect him, he will return.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study and Sunday mornings for service at 10:30 a.m. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
I see the joy of the dancers and all the healing. This dirt I came from, this dirt I came from, this dirt I came from, it's my dirt, but it ain't my home. This dirt ain't my home, this dirt, no, it ain't.